It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I've got idols on my mind today, and I want to talk to you about idolatry. I want to talk to you about contemporary idolatry and some idols we need to smash. But I just want to warn you, this may get a little closer to home than you're ready for. No, I think you're serious. I think you want to hear this. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. Here's the number to call to weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or email me directly at Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what got me thinking about idols, because that will answer one of the questions I want to raise. But let's go back a little while. Let's go back into Old Testament times when the children of Israel took the land. So this was a new people coming in, and the people that were living in the land were idol worshipers of the worst kind, and with the idolatry was all kinds of immorality and even horrific acts like burning children in the fire as worship of these various gods, so-called. And the children of Israel were called by God to destroy the idols, were they not? They were called to smash the Asherah poles. They were called to cut down the sacred groves, these sacred trees to gods. They were called to smash the silver and gold and wooden statues to the gods. They were called to destroy the idols. And I believe, the New Testament clearly verifies this, that whatever was written in the Old Testament is also for our benefit. That, no, we're not to go out and start physically attacking people. We understand that. We're not to say, who's the modern equivalent of Canaanites or Hittites or Jebusites? Let's go out and kill them. God forbid we think like that. Or let's just look in our area, and if someone, maybe there's a Hindu, and that Hindu is an idol worshiper, let's go and burn down their Hindu temple or smash the idols. No. There's a spiritual application. There's a spiritual application. And we've talked a lot on the Line of Fire broadcast about the need for a moral and cultural revolution, a Jesus revolution that is gospel-based, that is based on the principles of Jesus, that we overcome hatred with love, and we overcome evil with good, and we overcome violence with sacrificial service. But one thing that happens in a revolution is that you have to destroy the gods of the age. You have to subvert the idols of the age. Listen to what A.G. Gardner said. When a prophet is accepted and deified, his message is lost. The prophet is only useful so long as he is stoned as a public nuisance, calling us to repentance, disturbing our comfortable routines, breaking our respectable idols, shattering our sacred conventions. Friends, I believe that we as God's prophetic people today are called to smash idols. I believe that we as God's prophetic people today, as his voice on the earth, through his word, by his spirit, he speaks to us and we declare God's message to the society, we are called to smash idols. Okay, so we are not bowing down, most of us in our society here in America, we are not bowing down to physical idols. I've been to India now 16 times, and the first time you go to India, you're so struck by the idolatry. You're so struck by the shrines with these monkey gods and elephant gods and half-human, half-animal gods and temples with all types of iconography, all this idol image all over the temples. It's quite striking. And then the so-called Hindu holy men with their foreheads just painted and many of them emaciated, just sitting meditating. And you're struck by this. It's such an obvious idolatry, but we have idolatry in America today. Come on. Don't tell me that we still have immorality and we still have injustice and we still have all the other sins that the children of Israel dealt with, but we don't have idolatry. No, I don't think so. But it's not the kind of idolatry that they had in the ancient Israelite world, bowing down to Baal and Asherah and Astarte and these other gods and Tammuz and so on and so forth. No, it's a different kind of idolatry. It's not the idolatry you see in the Hindu world with all the various incarnations of Krishna and so on. It's a more subtle idolatry. And in many ways, it's a more dangerous idolatry. So I want to ask you, especially those listening by radio in America and those listening by podcast and internet around the world, I'm sure you'll find this relevant as well. But in particular, as I speak as an American to Americans, what do you think are the biggest idols in our culture today? What do you think are the number one idols in our society today? The number one things that get our attention, our energy, our worship, our adoration, the things that compete for our devotion to God. Remember, the thing that you give your energy to, the thing that you give your life to, the thing that has your affection, your emotion, that draws you away from the one true God or competes with the one true God, that thing is an idol. And it's crucial that we recognize it. So what are the biggest idols that we have in America today? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, I tell the story of Richard Warren Braun. He was exiled from Romania, a Jewish Christian pastor, Romanian pastor, after 14 years of brutal imprisonment for his faith. He suffered indescribable torture. His wife, Sabina, had labored in languished in a slave labor camp for years. Best friends and colleagues killed for their faith. I mean, the things he suffered are just unimaginable. When I got to spend time with him as an older man, I guess at that point in his 80s, you'd sit next to him and you'd look in the side of his neck, these deep holes, and just, this man suffered. He was in solitary confinement for 3 years. The only face he saw was the face of his torture. 3 years, solitary confinement. He was sometimes frozen to the point of death. And then just when he was about to die, they'd give him a shot, revive him. He'd be put in something called a carcer, like a standing coffin, and filled with all sides, razor-sharp knives, and they'd close it on you, and you move the slightest, slightest, slightest bit, the slightest bit, and you're sliced open. And he'd be in there until he'd pass out from bleeding. Can you imagine the terror? You can't move. You move the slightest bit, you're sliced, and now you're going to move another way, you're cut again. The fear, he suffered these types of tortures. He had vertebrae broken. They would burn him with red-hot irons, and on and on and on. Just horrific mistreatment. It's a miracle that he survived. He comes into the States. And he's at a Bible study in northern United States, maybe in Minnesota. One of my friends was there. And after his presentation, remember, this was years back. Communism was more glorified in those days. People didn't know a lot of the horrors that were taking place in communist countries under the Iron Curtain. And he talks about these things to awaken the church in the West to what's actually happened in communist countries to the Christians. And after the presentation, someone asked him, Pastor Warren Braun, why is it, this is my friend actually asked this question, Pastor Warren Braun, why is it we don't have communism to deal with here in America? Now, Pastor Warren Braun could have said, well, you have too many Christians, or the foundations of America, or your constitution are too much against communism. He could have said any of that. That's not what he said. Pastor Warren Braun, why is it that we don't have communism here in America? He said, oh, you have something far worse. You have materialism. I want to unpack that. I want to take your calls and get your feedback. What are the biggest idols in our society today? Friends, if we don't smash these, I don't mean by attacking society. I mean smash them in our own lives so they don't have power in our own lives. We will be weakened. We will be double-minded. We will be unable to really stand up for what's right and really and truly honor the Lord. I laid this out in my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. If you don't have it, I'd encourage you to get a copy of it. It'll challenge you, strengthen you. We come back, we will start with John, calling from New York, as we look at our list of the most critical idols that we must recognize, smash. And I want to tell you what got me thinking about this over the weekend. Again, I don't want to tip my hand yet and answer the question I'm asking you, but man, we've got some idolatry in America that is so ridiculously, stupidly out of control, and Christians bow down in front of some of these idols, friends. It's time we recognize it and smash it. So we're going to do some idol smashing. Are you ready? Today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Stay with us. A whole lot more to come. Get your hammer out. Now, spiritually speaking, it's going to smash some idols today. We'll be back. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. Boy, I don't know how the weather's been where you are. We've had some thunder and lightning. Seems to be messing with a few things. Hopefully you're all right where you are. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Visit us online at askdrbrown.org. We're talking about the idols of our society. Just as the Israelites were called to destroy the idols in their day, we are called to destroy idols, at least in our own lives, in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own circles of family and influence that we have. Not in a physical way, not looking for some statue on a corner somewhere, although some stuff approximates that these days, but there are other idols that divide our hearts. They take us away from God. That's the insidious power of idolatry. It brings us under the power of another God that is not really a God at all, brings us away from the true God. When I asked the question on Facebook, what are the idols we must destroy in our society today? Gabriel, the first to reply, said we must destroy the idols of materialism and self. Boy, I'm looking at some very interesting responses here. And I'm going to read some of those in a moment. First, let's go to the phones. John in New York, thanks for calling today. So what do you think the biggest idols that we have to deal with, one or two, here in America today?
Well, one was mentioned already. One is self, and number two is comfort. I believe that as Americans, we are so comfortable in our lifestyle that nothing can really change us. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit starts working inside of us. We like certain beverages. We like certain movies. We like certain sports. We like a lot of different things, and you cannot take this away from us. And what's interesting is Jesus calls us to a self-denial, which is you have a right to have what you want, but you're willing to give it up for Jesus. And unfortunately, I don't see that in America today.
All right, so just the emphasis on comfort, which is part of the it's all about me mentality, goes against the teaching of Jesus that begins with, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up the cross. So the sense, not just that we can enjoy a blessing from God and enjoy a nice meal with the family or enjoy a nice vacation, but that we are entitled to this to the point that anything that competes with our comfort, we, rather than renouncing our comfort, we renounce the things that are competing with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that there's times where you know, just going to a Christian and ask him to give up a game next Sunday and not go to the sports event and be more involved in the church, and most likely they won't, you know, they won't give it up. I mean, you know, that's what it is, and I include myself in that. I'm not pointing any fingers here.
Got it.
We're just not willing to give up those things. You know, and
right, so that's what makes it into an idol, because it has power and it competes with surrender to God. Hey, John, thank you very much for the call and the comments. You know, let me tell a quick story. A couple of years ago, I was going to be teaching a class at the King's Seminary, actually two classes back-to-back, 8:30 to 6 on three consecutive days, followed by another class. But the first class was going to start on a Sunday. And it was going to start in a Sunday afternoon and run into the evening, and then the rest of the week we'd go 8:30 in the morning till 6. This is in California time. And a professor coordinating the program called me or emailed and said, you know, Mike, I don't know if this Sunday is the best Sunday to do it, because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and we just may lose some students that they want to watch the Super Bowl, and we're going to be starting that first class. It's going to be right during the time of the Super Bowl. So I said, man, are you kidding? We got to smash that idol of Super Bowl Sunday is going to be so important that we have to arrange seminary schedule around it. I said, let's smash that idol, man. We'll gladly miss the Super Bowl. And if students aren't serious enough to miss the Super Bowl, I don't want them in my class. And I was saying it with a smile, but I was serious. He said, okay, great, that's the schedule. So we had a good turnout, and the joke ended up being on me because, to everybody's surprise, the New York Giants ended up making it into the Super Bowl, and I'm a New Yorker, so I used to root for the Giants as a home team. The New York Giants ended up making it into the Super Bowl. And not only so, they're playing the New England Patriots, who've had an undefeated season, and I get to miss the game because of the seminary class. Funnily enough, we happened to take a dinner break, and the dinner break ended up being right during the last quarter, and we actually got to see, we ended up in a little tiny Italian, I don't call it Italian, it's all the Italian restaurant, and in the back they just happened to have a TV on, and we actually got to watch part of the end of the game. I said, hey, we got to get back for class, and didn't see the tail end, so we caught some of the big plays. But hey, look, let me tell you, since sports has come up, Let me tell you what got me thinking about this idolatry. I was joking on the broadcast on Friday that we were going to interrupt the show because of the major news that LeBron James was not going to be playing in Cleveland, but was going to be playing in Miami, and we were going to cancel our normal topic for the day and talk about that. Of course, I was being facetious and sarcastic because there was such an uproar over it. No, who cares? And look, I understand it can actually impact the economy of Cleveland because of him being a draw and people coming and all of that. I understand that, and it can impact in another way, a positive way, the economy of Miami. But the whole thing is so stupid. And we have the World Cup in soccer, and Spain is celebrating Netherlands mourning. It's just a game. I know you've got people that really work hard, the athletes that really work hard, but come on, in Cleveland, there is a giant mural of LeBron James, a giant mural of this gifted athlete, and this giant mural has We Are Witnesses, and he's called King James. It's been his nickname for years. We Are Witnesses. What kind of nonsense? This is nonsense. This is just exalting people and exalting a game. Come on, all of us, men, women, you enjoy playing a basketball game growing up. You're playing with your friends. Picture you do that and you make your living and you make hundreds of millions of dollars doing it. This is an idol that, look, there are churches during football season here in America. You better believe they need to end at noon promptly because 1 o'clock is football season. 1 o'clock is football game, and that's it. And you better be out of there so that you can go watch the game and the sermon's being preached, but your mind is somewhere else because you're thinking about the game. That's idolatry. That's having a divided heart. One of the idols, as we're talking about on the Line of Fire today, the idols that we must smash, one of the idols that we must smash here in America is addiction to sports. Ooh. Are you telling me I can't? First, I'm not your God. I'm not your Lord. I'm just talking as a brother and a friend and a radio host and a Christian leader. I'm not your God. I'm not dictating anything to you. But if you spend more time on sports than the things of God, your heart's divided. Something's wrong. If the sports page is more important to you than pages of the Word of God, your heart's divided. You need to smash that idol. Not just smash the idol of addiction to sports, maybe going cold turkey for a month. How about a month of cold turkey from sports? Instead, spend that time in the Word and meeting with God and with your family. Oh, you may go through some idolatrous addiction withdrawal, but I tell you, you'll be a whole lot freer and more blessed. A lot more to come. We come back. We're going to hit this from a different angle. Someone's made a fascinating comment. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break.
It's fire we want for
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown talking about destroying the idols of our society. We're not talking about going down the streets of America and smashing windows and tearing things down. We're talking about in our own lives, in our own hearts. So what do you think? If you had a list here in America, the biggest idols that we're worshiping, the biggest idols that take our attention, our energy, our devotion, the things that we give ourselves to aside from the one true God, what would you say they are? 866-34-TRUTH, Deuteronomy 7, New Living Translation, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you're about to enter and occupy, he'll clear away many nations ahead of you. Do not intermarry with them, and don't let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters. They will lead your young people away from you to worship other gods, and the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will destroy you. Instead, you must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles, burn their idols, for you are holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. What are the biggest idols that we face here? I mentioned the addiction, really obsession with sports. Come on. You can't tell me that among many Christians, especially men, but not only men, that sports is bigger to them than God. You say, how could you say that? Well, because it's not just a matter of I go to a service once a week or I say certain right words. It's a matter of what occupies my heart, my mind. Okay, let's look at it from another angle, all right? Let's not be so spiritual about it. Let's just look at it from another angle. Sir, you're married to your wife, and you have never physically been with another woman, okay? Would your wife be happy, though, if you hardly thought of her, but you were always thinking of one of the ladies that you worked with? That when you dreamed, you were dreaming about the ladies you worked with and not about your wife? That if you had the opportunity to spend extra time with someone, you'd spend extra time with the women, or one lady in particular, on the job and not your wife? Would she be satisfied with that? Because after all, you took your vows, and after all, you come home every night and sleep in the same bed. Would she be satisfied with that? No, of course not. God forbid that she would think that's normal or acceptable. Then why is it normal or acceptable for us to be so obsessed with worldly, earthly things, for that to be the topic of our conversation, for that to be the thing that our hearts go up and down based on that? You know, I was checking myself over this, that maybe there was a bad call in a game a few weeks ago. There was a pitcher that pitched a perfect game in baseball. I mean, once-in-a-lifetime achievement. Most pitchers will never have that happen in their entire lives. It's one of the rarest of rare things in baseball. And the last play of the game, the umpire completely blew the call. He called the man safe when he was out, and all the videotape replays confirmed it, and the umpire was apologetic and felt terrible, but the commissioner of baseball said, no, we're not going to do anything to reverse it. That just has to stand. The call was made. Well, it just seems like an injustice, and it bothered me, and I thought, how bothered am I over that compared to the injustice in society, compared to some of the horrors I hear about taking place on a daily basis in societies? Is one thing more grievous to me than the other? I thought, man, if that's the case, that's bad. So let me list some idols for you. Then I want to share with you a fascinating comment that was sent in. The addiction to entertainment. We talked about this last week when we talked about the biggest time wasters in our lives. But friends, our addiction to entertainment, look at your own life. How much time, quality time, do you spend with God? How much quality time do you spend ministering to others? Compare that to how much time you spend with entertainment, be it TV, be it movies, be it video games, be it internet. Sean posted on Facebook that Leonard Ravenhill, dear man of God, I was very close with the last 5 years of his life, Leonard Ravenhill said that entertainment is the devil's form of joy. Smash the idol of addiction to entertainment. The idol of obsession with sports. I've been talking about that. And look, let me just talk about that one more minute. You know, I enjoy watching a replay of an amazing, amazing sports accomplishment. Oh, look at that play. I can't believe the catch they made, this goal he scored. Whoa, look at that. It's amazing. But can I tell you that in heaven, they're not stopping activities to watch a replay of an amazing slam dunk or of an incredible goal at the World Cup, or of a phenomenal catch in a football game, or of an unbelievable return of serve in a tennis match. Heaven is not stopping to, whoa, will you look at the angels jumping up? Whoa, will you look at that? Oh, amazing. No, no. They're stopping activities, and the bells are ringing, so to say, to rejoice because someone got saved, because a sinner repented and came to faith. Luke 15, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's a good way to test your heart. How much joy do you have over people getting right with God, getting saved? How much burden do you carry for people not knowing the Lord, being lost, compared to the ups and downs that you experience watching a movie, or the ups and downs you experience winning or losing a video game, or the ups and downs you experience over a sports team winning or losing? We need to think about this. Look, society's messed up, and we are God's answer here in our society. Someone posted this on Facebook. What do you think? Yoel said, nationalism is one that I think we often miss. Blaine, on our Facebook page, took issue with this. I think that nationalism is good. Do you think that nationalism can also be an idol? By nationalism, a certain type of patriotism, Americanism, God bless America, that can almost become an idol in itself. I personally think it can be. I believe it can be because often we are more concerned with America than with the kingdom of God. We are more concerned with the well-being of America. Look, as much as many of you listening are very upset with Congress today and very upset with the president today and very upset with many of the decisions that our government is making today, if the economy was rocking, if everything seemed to be going really, really well, and America had the esteem of the nations, you probably wouldn't be quite as upset. That's how many people are elected. Bill Clinton's mantra, it's the economy, stupid. That's what he was reminded of. I wonder if in our nationalism, sometimes we miss the larger purposes of the kingdom of God, if in our desire to have a bigger and greater America, that we often lose something even more profound, which is God's kingdom coming to all the nations. Have you thought about that? We just automatically assume, well, America, Christian origins, God wants America to be a Christian nation, those kinds of little thought processes, associations that we have, and therefore, what do we want? We want a bigger and better America because that means God's name being glorified. Whoa, whoa, whoa. A bigger and better America may mean more reproach to the name of God and more filth exported around the world and more sin exported around the world. What we need is a transformed America by the kingdom of God coming, which is something very different. By the way, on that note, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to be having a dialogue with Dr. Gary DeMar, and we'll be live taking your calls as well, but we're going to be talking about our end-time views. Is Israel a fulfillment of prophecy? Has the return of Jesus something past or future? What about the millennium? And this also has to do with our worldview. So tomorrow, dialogue with Dr. Gary DeMar about the end times. All right, stay with us. We'll be back. You know, every revolution has to confront idols in society. They have to come against ideologies that are wrong, destructive ways of thinking. I'm talking about from a Jesus point of view. Idols in our own lives, idols in our society that we bow down to, that we've got to destroy. Not by going out in the streets and burning down buildings. No, we're talking about things in our own hearts and lives. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've talked about addiction to entertainment, obsession with sports, just briefly touched on nationalism as something that can become an idol in our lives as well. You know, we're not thinking so much about world justice. We're not thinking so much about the good of nations. We're not even thinking about all the time what is righteous for the poor. We're just thinking about God bless America. And sometimes we can do that in a very shallow way that can become an idol itself. How about this? What do you think about worldly fashion? What do you? I've been picking on guys with sports issues here, but what do you think about worldly fashion? Ladies, are you under pressure to look a certain way? Are you under pressure? Now here's what I'm calling this idolatry, because it's consuming. Because it pulls at you, and it pushes you, and it puts demands on you, and it takes your time, and you're obsessed with it. How do I look? Is this too tight? Am I too fat? Is this, what about this? And is this okay? Is that not okay? And I'm talking about things getting to extremes. Look, you can't check out of a grocery store without seeing all kinds of pictures of perfect-bodied people. And, of course, they're going to have all the perfect-bodied women just looking at you. Men, we've got to keep watch our eyes and look away from things that can be seductive and from things that can be polluting. But, ladies, you get hit with this from a different angle, don't you? You get hit with this that you've got to look a certain way. And there's pressure. And, look, there are churches that have fashion shows and are into this as if it's perfectly fine. And maybe they're fashion shows to show modest fashions. Maybe let's put the best construction on this. They're fashion shows to display modesty and to help women live in a godly way. That's okay if that's the goal of it. But I think a lot of it just caters to carnality. And doesn't the Bible tell us that the emphasis should be on an inward, beautiful spirit? Doesn't the Bible tell us, especially for women, that the emphasis should be on character, rather than spending massive amount of time on the outside? So since I've been challenging men about sports, men in particular about sports, ladies, how much time do you spend working on the inner beauty and how much time on the outer beauty? You may be so obsessed to just get in shape a certain way, and maybe there's pressure from the man in your life to do that, or just exterior pressure from the society itself. And, you know, you spend all this time looking in the mirror and not a lot of time reflecting on the inner being, a lot of time looking in the mirror, not a lot of time looking in the Word. That's idolatry. You have to smash that. And if the guy that you're going to catch, you're going to catch just based on outward appearance, be careful, because one day you're going to get older. And be careful, because there's always going to be another gal out there that looks better than you. And if that's the primary way that you're going to catch the man you're interested in, you're going to be under pressure and tense and struggling the rest of your life. It's got to be a whole lot deeper than that. Lewis in Ogden, Utah. You may need to turn your radio down there. All right. What's on your mind, Lewis?
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
My pastor preached on Idols of America, and he mentioned that our newspaper, the most famous newspaper in America, USA Today, is the four main articles, like the sports, business, or money. And the other ones are like all idols of America. So,
yeah, you know, just the whole money thing, it's not just a matter of meeting needs, is it? There is an idolatry with earning money and being rich and getting ahead. Is that what your pastor talked about?
Yeah, he talked about all that. So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mammoth, you know, just running rampant out there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't counter it in the church the right way, by bringing a kingdom perspective on money and godly stewardship and how, sure, God can bless our finances, but what his purposes are and how we're not to store up treasures on the earth. We have a lot of our message, which is a carnal message for Christians, how Jesus is the key to getting wealth.
That's not the way.
No, it's, look, thank God for funds, resources. Right now, hey, if you're listening, in fact, and you've got a van, maybe you, Lewis, or someone else, you got a van or two that would like to donate to Fire School of Ministry for our students to go out on ministry trips. We will take it in a heartbeat, give you tax deduction for it and all that with joy. Thank God for finances used for the kingdom. Thank God for our needs being met with financial provision. But, Lewis, you're absolutely right. This is also an idol in our culture, the idolatry of money, of materialism, of having more. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. We've been talking about destroying idols in our lives, those things that compete with the worship of God, those things that compete with service of God, those things that divide our hearts. And look, we're in a really materialistic culture, and advertisers realized years ago that most Americans had what they needed. You know, sometimes it'll be birthday time or holiday time, and folks want to get me something. I think, okay, what do I need? What do I need? Really need? Legitimately need? It's like, oh, I think I've got everything I need. I think I've got everything I need. But what would I want? Ooh, I'd like this, and I'd have this, and I'd improve on this, and this, and that. Oh, and we could have a home entertainment thing for it. Oh, we do this, and oh, another computer thing. And, oh, and you know, it's got to be something beyond a need for the most part. So our whole advertising industry is creating desires for things we don't need. And Jesus said plainly in the parable of the sower that desires for other things are thorns that choke the word and make it unfruitful. Some of us really need to do some radical pruning of our gardens, friends, and uproot these thorn bushes and get our seed planted deeper, get it out of the shallow soil into the deeper soil, and get rid of these thorns so that we can really bear lasting fruit. So talking about some of the idols, if you haven't read my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, really encourage you to. When it came out 10 years ago, we gave away over 70,000 copies of it at the largest gathering of Christian young people in American history at the Call of D.C. We keep running into people that were blessed and changed by the book through the years, so it's a joy to get this out to you. If you don't, we've sent out free many, many copies through the radio broadcast, but go to our website, askdrbrown.org, where you can order a copy. The Line of Fire link will tell you more about the book if you want to find out about it and get a copy. And as always, if there's a book I've written and you really love to have this book and you legitimately can't afford it, it's not like you're going out and getting two Big Macs and then telling me you can't afford it, but you write to us and we will send you what you need. Okay, we've talked about some of the idols we have to smash in our society. We've talked about materialism in general and what that produces. We talked about addiction to entertainment and obsession with sports. I lay these out in greater depth in the book. Worldly fashion. Yeah, I didn't forget that one. Fleshly indulgence. This came up earlier, just the comfort. I was convicted reading something I had written myself 20 years ago about, as American believers, we love to feast and hate to fast. And I thought, yeah, in so many other areas of my life, there's the strength and discipline and saying no to carnality and no to this and no to that and yes to the Lord joyfully. And yet, yeah, the discipline of fasting in a deeper way in my life, that was there deeper in years past than in recent years. I was convicted by something I wrote. Let us smash the idol of fleshly indulgence. R.A. Torrey said, this power is lost through self-indulgence. The one who would have God's power must lead a life of self-denial. I do not believe that any man, he said, can lead a luxurious life, overindulge his natural appetites, indulge extensively in dainties, and enjoy the fullness of God's power. The gratification of the flesh and the fullness of the spirit do not go hand in hand. There are devils today that go not out but by prayer and fasting. And the last idol I tackle in the Revolution book, let us smash the idol of secular academics, meaning that I've got to send my kid to the best secular school, to the Yale, to the Harvard, to whatever it is, because it has the reputation, the prestige, and I want my kid to graduate from that school. You may be sending them there and sacrificing their faith. You may be sending them there and sacrificing their faith on the altar of secular academics. Well, a Christian school is not as famous or well-known. Well, isn't it more important that your kid is built up in God and strengthened in God and shines for the kingdom? So friends, consider this. If we're going to make a difference in the world, the difference has to start in our own lives. Tomorrow, dialogue with Dr. Gary DeMar about the end times and a lot of great programming coming your way. Stay with us through the week. Have a blessed day.